morning, we have Carl Shank here with us as a BIC pastor, and he will be sharing the message with us this morning. Now, Carl, I was going to try to memorize everything that Dustin sent me about your bio, okay? Just because I thought you'd really be impressed if I could just stand up here and tell you all about you, even though I don't know much about you. But then I decided it was probably better just to read it. So just to share a little bit about Carl so we know who is sharing with us this morning. Carl has been a BIC pastor since 1988, serving at Carlisle, Antrim, Refton, Crossroads, and Peckway churches, from which he retired in 2016 as an executive pastor. In the late 1990s, he served as a field associate for three conferences. He continues to be a licensed church health consultant with the NCD America. He and his wife, Nancy, attend Elizabethtown Brethren in Christ, where he regularly teaches an adult Bible class and has authored a number of study aids. So, Carl, I'm going to ask you if you want to come on up. I'm going to pray for you, and then I will let you share with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you again. And Father God, I am thankful for Carl and his ministry and his pastoring that he has spent much of his life doing. Father God, I thank you for his willingness to come and share with us this morning. I pray that you just bless him during this time. May his words be your words. May his message be your message. May you reach all of us as you so see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Am I on? All right, good. I'm on. It's great. Let me put that there. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, which is in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5. We are today going to talk about developing an attitude of gratitude. What does that mean? What does it look like, especially in a world that seems to be falling apart in many ways, a divisive world, and we have these debates coming up with candidates and so on and so forth. So 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is talking to a church, not unlike our churches of today, that have issues and problems. And this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, Thanksgiving is about a month away, and of course we have Halloween, and I'm not sure what you all do with Halloween, but many churches do many different things. In a few years ago, the Boston Globe asked a random selection of children what they were thankful for, and let me give you some of their answers. Charlotte, age 3, of Brighton, Connecticut, has two things she's thankful for: Halloween candy and trees. Patrick, 5, of Newton, said bike riding as he geared up for a ride with his family. Danielle, 5, of Newton, who's Patrick's sister, is thankful for face painting as she sports face paint from a children's event earlier that day. Sisters Winona and Delilah, 3, of Jamaica Plain, are thankful for people this Thanksgiving. The people who made Thanksgiving, said Theo, 6, of Newton, because I get to eat turkey and I love turkey. And buildings. I like that. And buildings, he added, because I love buildings. Little Johnny sitting at the Thanksgiving table. Now Johnny said, his mom, tell us something you're thankful for. He says, I'm thankful that I'm not a turkey. Perhaps your kids would say similar things. What are people usually thankful for? What are you usually thankful for? Well, let me give you results of surveys that have done throughout the years, and these are kind of done every season of the year. The number one nationwide answer through the years has been what? What? families, has been families. It would be the traditional mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and close relatives, or it could be the modern family of a single mom or dad with the kids and a few relatives they get along with and sometimes don't get along with. All right. 44% has been the estimated percentage of people who give thanks for families, which I find interesting. A second place winner of giving thanks would be friends. Friends that we have, long-term, short-term friends. A third reason would be for giving thanks would be financial independence. People give thanks for having jobs. And I'm sure that if you work, you give thanks for the independence that comes through having jobs. And of course, we're thankful for food and for essentials. And we're also thankful for football as long as the right team is winning. So, so I watched the Penn State game yesterday evening, and they redeemed themselves a little bit from the Michigan fiasco. But at least the Eagles are still in it, and those of you who are into football understand those. There's another area of Thanksgiving. Good health is up there, of course, in any Thanksgiving survey, especially after having gone through COVID and all the results of COVID, and especially as a person grows older. Turning nationwide, people are thankful for freedom. Now, we have many people who question whether our democracy is working or not, the problem with immigration policies and so on and so forth, but people are usually thankful for the freedom that we have in this country. I was challenged, though, by a question that was sent to me from Everence. Everence, how many of you know what Everence is? Some of you know what Everence is. It is a Christian-based, member-owned financial service organization that offers banking, insurance, investments, asset management, financial planning, and other services with community benefits and stewardship education. Everence is a ministry of the Mennonite Church USA, and we as Brethren in Christ cooperate with that ministry. But this question was sent to me, and I think it's on the screen. It is, what if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? What if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? That might be something to think about. Gratitude is a quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. People are grateful when their life situation is going well, when their needs are more than being met, when they feel good about their lives. And gratitude can do many things for us. And I've listed some of these things on the slide. many studies say that gratitude makes us happier. Noticing good things encourages a person to be happier, more appreciative individual. They have a more contented mindset. While negative situations can be draining, gratitude yields happier ones that increase our energy level. We feel like doing more things, accomplishing more tasks, giving more help to others. A grateful person attracts other people in their lives. People love being around encouraging, grateful, happy people. I'm sure you do. I do. A month ago, my wife and I traveled to a friend's home in Brevard, North Carolina. Brevard, North Carolina is outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and we have friends who live there, and they invite us to their very spacious home for a week or so. And this man is a fella who is always happy. He's just always thrilling to be around with. His name is Bert, and he's positive, he's life-giving. His attitude, he's enthusiastic, he takes walks every day. He's involved in many areas of this small community of Brevard, and he knows everybody, of course, and most everybody knows him. But We find gratitude attracts people. And then gratitude improves our health and well-being. And we know that. We know that gratitude helps us to resolve the stresses of life. So the Bible, interestingly, has a lot to say about gratitude, as you may well expect. This is not a new formula for overall health and well-being. God in His Word says a lot about things, and I've put that on a slide for you. For instance, in Ephesians 5, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians, we just read, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. But, you know, that's the problem, isn't it? So I can stand up here and talk about Thanksgiving, and you can sit back there and say, yeah, I've heard that before, and kind of the same old type of thing. We hear this stuff, but there's this tendency to say, well, you don't know my situation. You've never experienced the trauma and pain and difficulties I've gone through even this past week. How can you give thanks when dot, 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 and you fill in the blanks? How can you give thanks when you don't feel like it? When you don't feel like being in church, you don't feel like watching church online even, and when things are not going well, how do we conquer negativism in ourselves? How do we defeat sad and scary thoughts about our situations? How do we chase away the fear of bad things that happen to good people? And so that's what I want to talk about this morning a little bit from Thessalonians and the Scriptures. And the first piece of advice is this: we need to get new lenses. Every year I go to the eye doctor because I'm supposed to. My wife sends me to the eye doctor. Need to get your eyes checked because you can't see, because I don't notice her. And I have to make a confession this morning because, and maybe this applies to you guys here who have spouses. But my wife says I don't notice her enough. I'm sure that never happens to any of you. But she says you need to go get your eyes checked. And, of course, then she asks me all the hard questions. Am I still pretty for you? You know, what about my hair? And I hate that question because I never notice anybody's hair. So... But she keeps saying to me, well, I just went to the hairdresser. Do you see anything different? And of course, my answer always is, you went where? To the hairdresser? Looks like the same hair to me. Sorry. And then I get in trouble. Well, at any rate, we need to get back to Thanksgiving. We need to get new lenses. We need to adjust our spiritual sight, because what you see is what you see, even if it is not the real reality. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis made an important distinction in his writings about the real reality and what he calls shadowlands, in which we live with the here and now. Giving thanks requires new eyeglasses, spiritually attuned lenses to see what God wants us to see in our realities, our shadowlands, if you will. It is so easy to become focused in the wrong way, and so we need to get new lenses. And that's what God is trying to say through Paul to the Thessalonian church. Yeah, times are hard. Yeah, times are tough. Things are not the way they should be. But we need to start seeing things through God's eyes. The psalmist said it best in Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave, when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. That's Psalm 121 from the Message translation of the Bible. The Lord watches over us. And the answer to our problem of gratitude is one of perspective. The hills may be filled with the godless idols, especially in Israel's time. This was true when they looked up to the hills. They saw that the hills around Jerusalem, around their central city, was filled with the idols of false gods. But it is the Lord who made the heavens themselves and rules over all. The big thing is that God not merely watches over the big events in our lives, he watches over our comings and goings. He watches over our daily mundane things. He watches over us. And especially he watches the little things. I don't know whether you believe that or not. You know, some people, some Christians I find, have a problem with this because they say, well, you know, God is there when we have the big stuff, the big decisions, the big problems, the big things. God is always there in the little things, and he's especially there in the mundane things. He knows when you get up in the morning. He knows when you stumble into the bathroom and brush your teeth, take a shower, this kind of thing, or not. He understands. He knows you and the perspective we need to change. And so there's this plaque that I put on the screen. A grateful heart is one that finds the countless blessings of God in the seemingly mundane everyday life. That's a grateful heart. So when you leave this morning, think about the little things. Think about the mundane things. Think about the fact that when you get in your car, at least for most of you, maybe for all of you, it actually turns on. It actually, the motor actually runs. You actually are able to put it into gear. You're actually able to go somewhere. Charles Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll, a pastor that of course I've known through the years, he talks about the attitude factor. This is what he says. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. He says, I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it, and so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. You choose your attitude. I want you to hear that. You and I choose our attitudes each and every day. I play tennis with a group of guys a couple times a week. I can do that now since I'm retired from active, semi-retired from active ministry. And I play with these guys, and they are not very nice people. As a matter of fact, I have chosen to play with a group of non-Christian guys because it gives me an opportunity. It's kind of my mission field in these days. It gives me an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them and to not swear when the ball goes out or whatever. They try to hit me all the time, that kind of thing. And so I've learned how to dodge well. But at any rate, we choose our attitudes. You can put on a new spiritual lenses. You can see God or just the seemingly impenetrable mountains in front of you. We choose our attitudes. The second way to find more gratitude is to find a new source. In 1 Thessalonians, in all the verses we read, this phrase keeps popping up. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says this, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead and with what you've been given, you receive Christ Jesus the Master. Now live in him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject. Start living it. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving," from Colossians chapter 2. So a grateful attitude comes from Christ's power in our hearts, guiding us, directing us, leading us, speaking to us. And there are two conditions. One, you have to receive Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You can't just kind of pretend. You can't just try to be happy in Jesus without knowing Jesus. So that's the first condition. I need to accept Christ into my life, into my heart, to be Lord of my life. And secondly, we need to continue to live in him, walking in his word and will daily. See, it's not just a once and done thing. Christianity, as you know, many of you know, in this room and online, is not just accepting Jesus, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. It's actually living with Jesus each and every day. It is living a fruitful life in Christ. And the power for changing our attitudes, the power comes from living with Jesus in us. A person living in gratitude and fully yielded to the control and perspective of Jesus Christ will not have a problem with the phrase, giving thanks in all circumstances. I remember visiting people in the hospital and in nursing homes, which I must confess I hate to do. I'm not a caregiver. I'm not a compassionate person. Ask my wife. At any rate, but so I'm more of a planner, more of an organizer, more of an administrator type of guy. But all circumstances, I've been taught by people who are sick and they can't move and they can hardly speak, and they are the most joyful people that I have visited in my life because they know Jesus, because Christ has been living in them and with them for many, many years in some cases, and it comes from Christ's power in us. And the third thing I want to say to us this morning is simply this. This is not automatic. It's not a once-and-done thing. An attitude of gratitude comes from practice. We need to practice this in every circumstance. Christianity is a marathon. It's a journey. It's not a once-and-done thing. It's not a sprint. It's not a 5K race. We are in this for the long haul, and that means that we must practice gratitude to be grateful. I know that may sound really weird to you guys, but I have found that if I don't practice tennis, I am pretty bad at tennis. My wife is a pianist, and she plays all over the place. And in fact, she's playing at EBIC, Elizabethtown BIC, today. But she has to practice every day. And I keep saying to her, "Do you have to play the same song over and over and over again?" And she says, "Well, do you have to play tennis over and over and over again?" And so at any rate, but we kind of go back and forth in that. But she practices all the time. And why? Because she's a pianist and because she wants to honor the Lord. We are in this for the long haul. Gratitude is a practical looking at your life through God's lenses and Christ's power. But it is a journey. It is a journey. It is so easy. And everybody sitting here and everybody listening online will have to agree with this. It is so easy to become so negative, isn't it? It's just so easy to turn on TV, to look at the news, to talk to other people, and we just can absorb negativity. We have to really work at this. And let me just point out, too, that this attitude of gratitude is not merely for the strong and mature in the faith. It is for beginners. It is for middle runners. It is for the end of race veterans. It is for the weak, for the immature, the single parent, the seasoned mature couple, the young person finding his or her way through school and the beginning of jobs and life. We need to practice. So when you get in your car today, I'm going to ask you to put this into practice. So you look around your family or your spouse and say, so what should we be grateful for today, right now? You might get some interesting answers. And especially if you don't feel like it, you need to do it. So I want to close with a couple things this morning, two things. This is a prayer of gratitude, and it'll be on the screen, from Samuel Pugh, who's a minister of the Disciples of Christ. He died at age 103 in 2007, but I found this, and I just think this is the greatest thing. This is a prayer of gratitude. Listen to this prayer and make it your prayer. He says, "Oh God, when I have food, help me to remember the hungry. When I have work, help me to remember the jobless. When I have a home, help me to remember those who have no home at all. When I am without pain, help me to remember those who suffer. And remembering, help me to destroy my complacency, bestir my compassion, and be concerned enough to help, by word and deed, those who cry out for what we take for granted." Amen. And the other thing I'll close with is what's called the 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. You can go online and find this stuff. I've put one resource on the screen for you, bloggratefulness.me. You can go online and get this. And you should do this 21-Day Gratitude Challenge before Thanksgiving. Before you're faced with it around the table, what are you thankful for today? Maybe you can practice it a little bit before you get to Thanksgiving Day. So I close with this question that I said at the beginning. What if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? Could we pray together? Father in heaven, thank you so much for granting us the privilege, the opportunity to be in your presence. The fact that we are here, the fact that we breathe, that we have health, that we have strength. Lord, we praise you for who you are, for what you've done. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for him in our lives. We pray your Holy Spirit would just impress upon us once again this attitude of gratitude. And we ask this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.